Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards. Today, to help lead me through some of London's art galleries, I'm joined by private art consultant and dealer Kathleen Fox Davis. On our to-visit list, we have a collection of Cy Twombly's at the New Gagosian Gallery in Mayfair, Irving Penn's Flowers, a series of photographs originally commissioned by American Vogue, and we'll take a look at Chinese porcelain and photography in an exhibition at the Burwold Oriental Art Gallery. That is all to come here on the Monocle Arts Review. Stay tuned. Welcome to the show, Kathleen.
Thank you very much.
Great to have you with us, as always. We'll head to the Gagosian, well, the new Gagosian space in just a moment, but I know you've just been in Paris, so it would be remiss not to mention Paris Photo. What were the main talking points?
Well, this is an extraordinary exhibition. This is the 19th edition of Paris Photo, which hosts 146 photography-based galleries and 26 publishers that all specialize in photography at the Grand Palais in Paris. It runs for about half a week, and this is an incredible exhibition of the leading photography galleries exhibiting the best, the brightest, the most exciting, the most rare photographs from their own private collections for the photography enthusiast or collector alike. This is an incredible opportunity to see the best of what photography has to offer, and this year did not disappoint. The Paris Photo Fair differs a little bit from the other fairs of the season. We've just come out of Frieze and FIAC, which are contemporary art fairs that have almost a feeding frenzy nature to them, and you've got pieces on display that are shock value, extraordinary, weird and wonderful to look at. Paris Photo plays it a little bit safer, which actually I find is to the benefit of the viewer. Walking around the halls, you could spend days exploring and learning something new in a bit of a casual and calm climate.
I was going to ask, is it a bit more, what's the mood? Is it a little more, what's the word? I suppose Paris, genteel maybe.
It is, it is. I find it laid back, approachable. It makes it very enjoyable. And the dealers describe the fair this year as hugely successful, but sales are sort of slow and measured rather than it being a sort of a frantic urgency.
Well, this is always what's interesting, I guess, about some of these big fairs, you know, whether they are markets for sales or whether there's something a bit different. It is about just kind of sharing the wealth, if you will. Walking around during Paris Photo, does it have that feeling like it's a real marketplace, or do they manage to kind of, there's some business gets done, but it's not about that?
Paris Photo, it really is the best of both worlds. It very much is a commercial fair, and dealers call this their prime selling time of the year. This is the best fair for photography dealers. But as you walk around, there's been such special consideration in the exhibition and displays that the galleries are presenting. You've got galleries that are doing solo shows, that are doing extraordinary pieces, like your neighbor, Atlas Gallery, had a complete exhibition of the Photogram, which is really a break from traditional photography, bending the rules. And it was actually just written up in the New York Times because it was so extraordinary and different from what a lot of the other galleries were doing. It's not to say that that's going to be the most successful commercially, but it is something very interesting for the viewer.
Well, we're going to be talking about photography here in London on one of the shows in just a moment. But let's kind of kick off the London review with, well, the brand new Gagosian Gallery here in the capital. For their inaugural show, they've chosen a series of works by the American abstract artist Cy Twombly. Well, we'll talk about the Cy Twombly show in a second. What about the space? What do you make of it, Kathleen?
This space on Grosvenor Hill is extraordinary. It is really something to behold. You walk in and it's a perfect white box with double height vaulted ceilings, poured concrete floor, immaculate. In every room, it has natural light offering into the exhibition spaces. It really is mammoth and somewhat overwhelming. It's very different from the traditional quirky, weird spaces that you find in central London that have sort of been molded out of existing spaces that were never meant to be almost museum quality galleries.
And we've seen a couple of kind of high profile new spaces opening in London recently. How do you think now they'll sit? Are they disruptive to the space? You mentioned the idea, you know, around sort of Mayfair, it's a very different vibe normally. Does this give it a shot in the arm? Is it not pretending to be, you know, the likes of which we already have? It's meant to be something, it's meant to feel different.
I think it's very much meant to feel different. A lot of the new huge gallery spaces that you see that really remind you more of what you would find in the Chelsea Warehouse District in New York are outside of the central London. So this is quite special that in the middle of Mayfair, you sort of meander down a Mews Street, and in the middle sits this incredible box, not so different from White Cube space. Yeah, yeah. I don't know if it's purpose-built or not. It certainly looks it. And I think that that adds to how special the space is.
So that's the space. How special's the work on display? You know, they don't come much more big hitters than the late, great Cy Twombly. Tell us a bit about the exhibition. I gather it's pretty arresting stuff on show.
It is incredible work. Opening this space, you have to have a showstopper on the walls. You're not going to find a shrinking violet that is very successful in the space that Gagosian has. And Cy Twombly does not disappoint. You walk in, and the first room are these amazing medium to large scale drawings that are very subtle when you stand back from them. But they invite the viewer in, almost on this wonderful journey, exploring this mad genius world of the artist, as you find pencil markings and pen and crayon and almost scratchings and doodles and random numbers and annotations all over this beigey sheet of paper. They're all from the mid-1960s. And you have this real sense of exploration and learning. You walk into the next room and it's the complete opposite feeling. You are literally taken aback by these huge pieces that Cy Twombly is known for. They are the career-defining pieces, most notably the Bacchus work. So it's the first time these have ever been seen on display. They are huge. They're more than two stories high, scrawling, swirling, almost frantic blood red acrylic paint on these canvases. And they do really make you sort of stop in your tracks.
Donald Judd, I think, once said, "There isn't anything to them," talking about some of Cy Twombly's paintings. Presumably that's disproved comprehensively, do you think, in this show?
It has been disproved by history. Coming out of Cy Twombly is known as a late abstract expressionist. He's more grouped in with Jasper Johns and Robert Rauschenberg. They're coming out of not so much post-war, but really the 1950s, as America had sort of moved on and was redefining itself. Whereas you have Jackson Pollock, who's compared to Cy Twombly as almost a predecessor, who was coming out of the anger, the disappointment, the confusion of world wars. And you see that in his artwork. And he has been compared, but what they're doing is very, very different, because he doesn't have those same motivations and fears and psychological impacts motivating his artwork. He very much has made his own visual language, and it's worked.
Well, Cy Twombly is on at the new Gagosian Gallery in London until the 12th of December. Let's move to Hamilton's in West London. On show, there's a series of photography by Irving Penn. The work's entitled Flowers, was originally commissioned by American Vogue for their 1967 Christmas edition. Thereafter, Penn worked on seven more assignments for Vogue, each one focused on one class of flower. Kathy, and I've got some visual aids in front of me here, because I haven't been to this show. Very meticulous pictures of these flowers. They're almost sort of textbooky. They have that kind of scientific quality. How would you describe them? I've sort of butchered the description somewhat there, but does that capture a bit of the essence, do you think?
A little bit of the essence. This series is quite special. Just to take a step back for a moment, there are 42 works in this series of flowers that were made over 7 years of commissions for Vogue magazine. It was the Christmas edition. And this is the very first time that all 42 works will ever be shown in the same room. So that in itself makes this show very, very special. You then see each individual picture and you really get an idea of the artist's process. Irving Penn was trained as a painter, and he comes to photography through print and advertisement, working specifically for magazines. So he has been trained with the very minute attention span of a reader, thinking that the person's going to be viewing his images will be sitting in a dentist waiting room, most likely, will have a couple of minutes, and if he doesn't capture your interest, the moment's gone. So these were never conceived at the time to be fine works of art hung on a wall and contemplated. And you get the feeling with these pieces, they grab your attention immediately. They're strange, they're beautiful, they're sumptuous. The flower work specifically is the first time that he really starts to visually play with his fascination of all phases of beauty, both full and faded. So you've got flowers that are in their prime with wonderful dewdrops sitting on the petals, indicating youth. You've got flowers that are past their prime, that are browning, wilted, leaves fallen off completely, that are almost returning to their original state in the earth. And he shows the same consideration and how he displays these pieces of beauty. And that's what you really get out of this.
And it's interesting. I mean, Penn's sort of reputation as a fashion photographer as being quite sort of revolutionary, a different take. Do you think it's possible to kind of see you know, the same eye, if you like, in some of these pieces that people maybe be more familiar with from the fashion world.
Absolutely. Irving Penn was one of the very first fashion photographers to set his subjects against a stark, plain background. And so that's what you see with all of these flower photographs. They're against a white background, so all you have are the flowers. Mm. Penn utilized this unique approach to his still lifes, evolving over decades. And you see this happening in the flower work and continuing through the rest of his career for the next 40 years. With the flowers, he's really starting to play with the idea of vanitas, of this morbid fascination with mortality and death. You see it with the youthfulness of the flowers and the broken down dying flowers. And it is something that he explores in other subject matters, whether approaching fashion models or everyday still lives of broken shoes and used discarded cigarette butts, food even. So this sits wonderfully in the greater series of this artist's work.
Yeah. That's Irving Penn's Flowers, which are on show at the Hamilton Gallery until the 16th of January next year. Let's end the show at the Burwood Oriental Art Gallery, which has a particular focus on Chinese art in two exhibitions currently on show, side by side, with one looking at porcelain made during the 1600s, the other a series of images by abstract photographer Ji Guangju. Kathleen, it's interesting always when you have shows like this that sort of sit alongside one another. Do they complement each other nicely, do you think?
This is a really special show. It's Burwood Oriental Art is a very quirky space. It's almost a private space rather than it being a public art gallery. So you walk in to the second floor gallery and they have these incredible transitional ceramic porcelains on display that if you know your Oriental art, these are amazing and rare. And it took the gallery 10 years to acquire the collection of 8 pieces that are put here. These were specifically on display as a 30th anniversary exhibition for the gallery. To complement these works, sitting side by side are contemporary photographs that were actually made being inspired by the transitional porcelains by Chinese artist Ji Guangju. And he was inspired by these amazing cobalt blue and white compositions on the porcelains and took that into his own abstract photography, creating these blue and white abstracted landscape compositions. And he uses his camera almost like a paintbrush of tilting and sweeping and zooming all within one single exposure. And they really work together.
Well, I was going to ask you about that because it's interesting with photographers. Sometimes people talk about particular photographers having a painterly style, and sometimes it's rather difficult to actually work out what people mean. But you can really sort of feel that there's a textural quality almost to it, which lends it to that description.
He's literally painting with the camera for these pieces, which is just, it's worked, it's extraordinary. It's the first time that the gallery has shown contemporary photography, and they do sit side by side and they complement each other and they challenge each other. And it's quite wonderful seeing a contemporary Chinese artist being inspired by his own history.
Now, often people like to look at particularly, you know, the 8 transitional treasures, and they're very beautiful pieces. Do we get into, or do you get a sense of, I don't know, a deeper meaning? Obviously, going back to the 1600s, it's incredible to look at pieces from that span history in this way. Do you think that it reveals something, I don't know, almost about the 17th century?
Well, these transitional pieces, they're called that because it was literally a period of transition between the Ming Dynasty and the Qing Dynasty. I'm probably saying this wrong, I apologize. Where both the dynasties had very strict control over the production of porcelain, but because of the political unrest and upheaval and mass confusion, the rules were loosened. They weren't really paying that much attention to what was happening with the production of porcelain. So these artisans were given almost unprecedented artistic license to really create what they wanted to. So this is the only time in the history of Chinese porcelain that you actually see a glimpse of what was important to these artisans and these people at the time by what they're creating on the porcelain. So for that reason, historically, they're incredibly important as art collectibles. They are rare and sought after. And it's almost inconceivable to me that you walk in and they are in absolute perfect mint condition. You can't believe it. They are from the 1600s and have survived in the time until now looking pristine.
And pristine they do look, aesthetic, an aesthetic treat, I think, at the Burwald. That's 8 transitional treasures and Out of the Blue at the Burwald Oriental Art Gallery. It's running till the 26th of November. That brings us to the end of today's show. Kathleen Fox-Davis, thanks very much for joining us
here in
Studio One. As ever, you've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards. Thanks to our producer, Holly Fisher, and our researcher, Jamie Waters. Join us again at the same time tomorrow. Music up for discussion then, but for now, thanks very much for listening.